بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله من ولا وبعد. This evening, بإذن الله تعالى, this is going to be our second session. Reading from the wasiyah of Al-Imam Abdulaziz ibn Abdullah ibn Baz rahimahullah to the students of the Islamic University of Medina. Last week we began to look at this advice from Al-Imam Abdulaziz ibn Baz rahimahullah as a continuation of the Manhaj Yawmi Litalib al-Ilm of Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen. Continuation of that kind of advice for those who are serious about seeking knowledge. In last week's session, we actually read the entire advice of Al-Imam Abdulaziz ibn Baz rahimahullah, and a little bit of commentary from Sheikh Abdul Razak, the son of Sheikh Abdul Muhsin al-Abad al-Badr, Hafidhahum Allah, may Allah protect and preserve both of them. And this evening, bi-izni Allahi ta'ala, we're going to begin to look at the commentary, the comments that the ta'liqat of Sheikh Abdul Razak, Hafidhahullah, on this advice of Al-Imam Abdulaziz ibn Baz. Before we read from the commentary of Sheikh Abdul Razak, since we didn't have a study guide last week, I'm just going to quickly refresh our memories with a few questions related to what we discussed last week. First question being, the topic of this advice. What is the topic of this advice? Zakaria. Advice to the students of Jamia Islamia. Naam, Jamia Islamia. And in the beginning of this advice, the Imam Abdulaziz ibn Baz rahimahullah mentions 6 points of advice before he goes into the main body of what he wants to say. 6 points. First of them. If we can mention them in order, it would be excellent. The first of them, Ahmed. Taqwallah. Taqwallah. Anybody want to add to that? Taqwallah. Naam. Naam. Fi jami' al-ahwal. Yani to observe taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in all circumstances, in every situation or circumstance. A person has to be consciously aware of observing taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Second advice, Yusuf in the back. Pay attention to the materials and curriculum. Before that, the second advice, Muhammad. Naam, al-hirs ala talab al-ilm. That a person be diligent, eager, yani desirous of this path that they are on, of seeking knowledge. That a person be diligent in it and not just yani go along yani without having any real purpose of what they're doing. Third advice, Adam.
Students study with one another, help one another with topics that may be difficult.
Are we on the third one or the fourth one?
Well, he gave the third one.
I gave the third, but I think I added from the...
Oh, okay. All right, so...
The third was the curriculum.
Okay, the third was the curriculum. Now, so we're on the fourth one. And what is it?
Students study with one another.
That the students study with one another. That the students, al-mudhakara, yani that they help each other in covering the material, especially those issues that might not be clear to everyone. Naam. Five, Sharif.
Listening
carefully, attentively to your teachers. And you're paying attention. And we know that for young people, children, it might not be unusual that in the classroom, children are not listening. They're playing, talking, busy with something else. That is not uncommon for children, but that shouldn't be the condition of an adult, especially a student seeker of knowledge. That's what number?
That's five.
Six. Who didn't give us an answer yet? Okay, Nam Thailand. Nam, ask questions in a polite manner, in a respectful, in a proper manner concerning those things yani issues that come up in the course of the lessons. Naam. So these are advices that he began with, and after that he went into the core of what he wanted to say. And from the core of what he wanted to say, how many points that he made? How many points? What are the number of them? Naam, Abdul Wali.
Five.
There are five. There are 5 points. And so tonight we're going to begin to look at the Shaykh's comment on those 5 points. We mentioned the 5 points with a little bit of the evidences that the Shaykh mentioned, and he briefly on some of those points, and without commentary. Okay? So those 5 points we're going to begin with tonight. Before we begin with them, the first of those points is what? The first point, Naam, is... Tayyib. Whose hand in the back I saw? Sharif. Abdul Wali.
Rectifying the
niyyah, the intention. That is, that a person is actively engaged in rectifying, correcting, yani their intention. Naam. The second of them. Huh? Adam.
The preservation of one's time.
Preservation. Yani hafdh al-waqt. That a person is careful of their time, of not wasting it. Naam. The third one, Ali. Implementing that which you learn. Al-amal. Bima'alim. Naam. And the fourth of them, Dawood.
Preserving time.
Preserving time is the? Preserving time and applying what one has. Those are the second and third. The fourth one. Muhammad. Al-istiqama ala taqwallah. That a person be steadfast, upright, yani consistent in observing taqwa of Allah. And the last of them, the fifth one, Sharif?
Avoiding sins.
That a person takes every precaution as to the best of their ability to avoid sins. Naam. Okay, so today, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, we're going to look at the first of these points and the commentary of the Shaykh Abdul Razak, the son of Shaykh Abdul Muhsin al-Abad, al-Badr, hafidhum Allah. And we're going to begin, I don't know if you received, those who are in the mailing list, hopefully you received an updated, yani modified or edited version of the English translation. I just kind of tried to format it a little bit because sometimes the points are mixed together in one paragraph. And it may not be that easy to recognize that this is a new matter or a new point or a different yani affair that's being addressed. So I just tried to yani format it a little bit so it'll be a little bit easier to follow. If you received it, then we'll be reading from, in the English translation, the third page, fourth paragraph. And it might be a little off if you have the original one that we distributed first before the formatting. But in any case, yani, the point is the first advice of Al-Imam Abdulaziz Ibn Baz. We're going to begin with that. Perhaps it's on the third page, fourth paragraph in Arabic. It's on the fourth page, second paragraph. Fourth page, second paragraph. So, Shaykh Abdul Razak, Hafidhullah, he says, فَذَكَرَ رَحِمَهُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى أَوَّلًا فِي الْأَسْبَابِ الْمُعِينَةِ عَلَى حُسْنِ التَّحْصِيلِ لِلْعِلْمِ إِصْلَاحُ النِّيَّةِ بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَ اللَّهِ. Yani that the Imam, rahimahullah, Al-Imam Abdulaziz Ibn Baz, rahimahullah, has mentioned the first of the, yani asbab, yani the means, or the causes, or the reasons by which a person will, yani those things which, the means which will help a person, will, which will assist a person and aid a person to, yani in the acquisition, yani the excellence or the perfection of the acquisition of knowledge. Yani the first of the asbab al-mu'ina, the first of those means which will help and assist a person in the acquisition, yani in doing well in the acquisition of knowledge. And he said the first of them, islahu an-niyyati baynaka wa bayna Allah. Yani which means to rectify or to purify or to correct, to reform one's intention. The intention, yani, of what you are doing. Yani, that which is between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And your intention for doing that, any for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I just want to make a note here. If anybody has reflected on this advice and read it before coming to class, perhaps you may have noticed the Shaykh, he uses the word islah, islah al-niyya. And he didn't use the word ikhlas al-niyya. Is there any apparent reason why? Why he said islah al-niyya and not ikhlas al-niyya? And is there a difference between the two? Muhammad has his hand up first.
I'm just going off of my head, but like, your niyyah sometimes, you know, changes, so you have to always go back and correct
it. Okay, that's definitely, yani, on point. Yani, that's a factor to be considered. That the niyyah, a person's niyyah is not going to be stable. It's going to change. Yani, a person can get off track with their niyyah at some point along the road. And therefore, it's a process. Naam, Ahmed. To make the niyyah better, naam. The reformation, the correction, the rectification, purification of the niyyah. What else? Naam, Amin. I don't know why I can't think of your name.
It's probably not a matter of dispute whether the niyyah is sincere or not, but rather that it just needs to be kind of shaken up there.
Well, I don't know if we can say it's not a dispute whether or not the niyyah is correct or not. I mean, some people's niyyah is not correct. It's not for the sake of Allah. So that's something we can look at a little bit more carefully. Now, yes,
yeah.
To keep it from becoming?
Mixed.
Mm-hmm. To make sure that it doesn't become, and the intentions don't get mixed up, corrupted, polluted with something else. Right, so it's around this idea, yani, that came to my mind when I looked at the wording here, islah al-niyya. And what I saw, and Allah knows best, is that ikhlas al-niyya, that the niyyah is sincerely, purely for the sake of Allah alone, is the goal. But to get to the point of having a sincere, pure niyyah for the sake of Allah requires work. And that's a process, and that's what he's talking about here. He's talking about the process of a person working at, striving and struggling, as we'll see as we go through the explanation, to correct, to reform, to improve, yani, to purify the intention, so that a person, by the permission of Allah, may reach the point of having ikhlas and niyyah. That's the goal, but there's a process. You don't automatically just have ikhlas in your niyyah. But that's something that a person has to work at, and as the brother indicated, people's niyyah has changed. Niyyah changed, so a person has to constantly be going back to it, working at it, and that's the process that he's referring to here, and Allah knows best. Islah al-niyyah means that we are constantly engaged in the process of rectification and purification, the reformation and correction of our niyyah to make sure that it stays as pure as possible, yani, for the sake of Allah alone. Islah al-niyyah baynaka wa bayna Allah wa an takuna da'iman mu'taniyan bi islahiha mujahidan nafsaka ala dhalika mustamirran fi mu'alajatiha. He says, so that, yani, this process of islah al-niyyah, it requires that a person is always giving attention, giving care to this matter of the rectification of the niyyah. That a person is always constantly engaged in this process, showing concern and care, yani, for the rectification of the niyyah. Mujahidan nafsaka ala dhalika, and that a person is striving and struggling with their nafs for this purpose, yani, for the purpose of making the niyyah purely for the sake of Allah alone. That a person is mujahidan nafsaka, yani, that you are striving against your nafs in order to achieve this objective, that is the purification of the niyyah. Mustamirran fi mu'alajatiha, and that a person is constantly working at, yani, the ilaj, yani, constantly working on, yani, fixing, correcting, rectifying, purifying one's niyyah. So this is a bit much, yani, that the Shaykh has said here. And it requires that a person go back, because the whole point is that we comprehend so that we can implement this advice, what the Shaykh is saying. And this is the first matter that he talks about. And therefore, it's the most important of them, that a person is constantly engaged in the rectification of the niyyah. So this is an ongoing process. Yani da'iman mu'taniyan. Yani the person is always showing concern and care and giving attention to the rectification of the niyyah, striving and struggling to achieve this. Yani constantly engaged in working at fixing the niyyah. Why? لأن النية في كل شيء تتفلت ومن ذلك النية في العلم. And the reason why we have to be constantly engaged in this process of إصلاح النية is because the intentions, yani intentions in everything that a person does can escape. Yani is constantly fleeing. It's like the animal that you don't tie down. If you don't tie down the camel, what happens? It runs away. And the niyyah will escape from you. وَمِنْ ذَلِكَ النِّيَّةِ فِي الْعِلْمِ. Yani of the all of the different intentions that a person may have that may escape, from amongst them is the intention to seek knowledge for the sake of Allah. A person has a sincere intention, but it may get away. If a person doesn't show concern and care and watch over it and guard it and protect it and preserve it. If a person doesn't do that, it may escape. It may get away. The Shaykh says, فَتَجِدُوا الطالب مضى وقتا يطلب العلم بنية صالحة. And you find that a student or a seeker of knowledge has passed some time. Maybe months went by, years went by. A person passed time during which they had a righteous niyyah. ثم يفاجئ. And then suddenly by surprise, يعني وإذا بنوايا فاسدة. Suddenly they find that they have some corrupted intention. Person starts out with a good intention and then they find that يعني intention has been corrupted. قد دخلت عليه ووصلت إلى قلبه. يعني corrupt intentions has entered upon him and it has reached his heart. It has reached the heart. What kind of corrupt intentions? For example, the Shaykh says, من حب الدنيا وحب الشهرة وحب الظهور وحب السمعة إلى غير ذلك من المقاصد التي هي خوارم خوارم للنية. He said, for example, the corrupt intention that may enter a person and reach their heart is that they begin to have love for the dunya. And the purpose in seeking knowledge, instead of it being for the sake of Allah, is for some worldly benefit. And there are worldly benefits in seeking knowledge. And some people seek knowledge and they become in demand. And so they get paid to give talks, and they get paid for their writings and their lectures and for participating and whatever and whatever and whatever. So a person's intention in the beginning is seeking knowledge for the sake of Allah in order to improve their self and their relationship with Allah and to help the people. And then the intention becomes corrupted by love for this world and love for shuhra, yani fame, that a person becomes famous and they become known and they begin to like that. And it's something that can affect a person if they don't seek help from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And love for dhuhur, yani to appear, to be in front of the people. A person begins to love this, to want to be in front of the people. وَحُبَّ السُّمْعَ. You need to be heard about, to have a reputation. Person loves that, people heard about me. And other than that, مِنَ الْمَقَاصِدِ الَّتِي هِيَ قَوَارِمْ لِلنِّيَّةِ. And there are other things that he could have mentioned. There are other maqasid, yani objectives that a person may actually be seeking instead of seeking the pleasure of Allah. And all of these types of objectives that are mentioned here and other than what has been mentioned, and there are many, they yani make holes, they destroy, they nullify, they invalidate the good intention that a person has. These kinds of things. So this is something that's really, really important for people who are going to dedicate their lives to seeking knowledge for the sake of Allah. A person has to be careful from these things and other than that. And other than that. And some people imagine, I remember there was a young brother, mashallah, who was very studious and diligent in seeking knowledge. And it began to become clear that he was affected by being on the circuit. And he was becoming famous. And people were recognizing him. And I told him, brother, you know, you should fall back. This is not good. Yani, this may overcome you. And sometimes it's apparent and sometimes it's not. But a person has to be warned from this. Sheikh Abdul Razak, Hafidhullah, may Allah protect and preserve him, after mentioning this, meaning that a person has to work at the rectification of the niyyah, and this is a constant action that a person is going to be engaged in. And he warned us of some of the things that would happen if a person is not constantly engaged in the process of the rectification of the niyyah. If a person is not giving care to that, then he may fall into corrupt intentions that will destroy the good that he is seeking. And then he says, وَطَالُبُ الْعِلْمِ عِبَادَةً. And he's seeking knowledge is worship. And he's saying here that, why is this intention so important? Because this is worship. It's not just prayers and charity and fasting and reading the Quran. Seeking knowledge is worship. Seeking knowledge is one of the greatest forms of worship. And it being worship means that the intention is going to make a difference, right? The intention makes a difference. طالب العلم عبادة. بل كما قال بعض أهل العلم إنه من أفضل ما يقرب العبد به. Not only that, he said some of the people of knowledge, some of the scholars have said that indeed seeking knowledge is from the best of those things that a person, best of the means to which a person seeks nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. From the best of those things that a person seeks nearness to Allah is talib al-ilm. مَا تَخَرَّبَ مُتَخَرِّبٌ إِلَى اللَّهِ بِأَفْضَلِ مِنْ طَالِبُ الْعِلْمِ. Shaykh says what? That a person who is seeking nearness to Allah doesn't get near to Allah with anything better than seeking knowledge. وَالْإِبَادَةُ لَا يَقْبَلُهَا اللَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى مِنَ الْعَامِلِ إِلَّا إِذَا أَخْلَصَ لَهُ فِيهَا. And worship, talib al-ilm is worship, and worship is not accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from anyone who is doing it. Anyone who does worship. Allah doesn't accept worship from anyone except that the person has sincerity, ikhlas, for Allah in that act of worship. Except that a person has sincerity, ikhlas, in that act of worship for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah doesn't accept it otherwise. ولهذا ينبغي على طالب العلم أن يعلم علم يقين أن حضوره لمجالس العلم وسماعه للعلم وقراءته لكتب العلم وحفظه للمتون ومذاكرته لمسائل العلم ومباحثته فيها كل ذلك لا يقبله الله سبحانه وتعالى منه وَلَا يَكُونُ فِي صَالِ عَمَلِهِ إِلَّا إِذَا قَصَدَ بِهِ وَجْهَ اللَّهِ. So it is incumbent upon the student of knowledge. Yani for this reason, that seeking knowledge is worship, and Allah doesn't accept any worship from anyone unless they're doing it sincerely for His sake alone. For this reason, it is incumbent upon the seeker of knowledge to know with certain knowledge. There's no doubt about it. Person has to know with certainty that his or her attendance at the gatherings of knowledge, majalis al-ilm, a person's attendance in these gatherings of knowledge, and a person's listening to knowledge, whether it's on the radio or from a recording, a person's reading the books of knowledge, a person's memorization of the mutun that we talked about from Shaykh Uthaymeen rahimahullah's advice. The books that are the foundations that a person memorizes and studies carefully and then builds their knowledge upon that. A person's memorization of these books, and a person's mudhakara, reviewing the issues of knowledge, and a person's researching these issues of knowledge. All of this, he says, Allah doesn't accept it from anyone. And it will not be from a person's righteous deeds. They will not find it in their good deeds. يوم القيامة إلا إذا قصد به وجه الله. Except that a person's intent in doing any of those things is to seek the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani that a person attends the gatherings of knowledge, a person listens to yani knowledge, reads books of knowledge, studies, yani whatever, all of this memorization, Allah will not accept it unless the person does it sincerely for the sake of Allah. For that reason, it's incumbent upon us to take this matter seriously. And the Shaykh begins with this because of its seriousness. And if a person is not careful in this matter, it's all wasted. It's all wasted. He said, وَأَمَّا إِنْ فَعَلَ ذَلِكَ رِيَاءً سُمَعَةً شُهْرَةً إِلَى غَيْرِ ذَلِكَ كُلُّ ذَلِكَ لَا يَدْخُلُ فِي صَالِحِ عَمَلِهِ وَلَا يَجِدُهُ يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ فِي مِزَانِ حَسَنَاتِهِ. As far as a person doing any of these things, just to be seen, yani ostentation, showing off, or to be heard about, yani to seek a reputation, or to seek fame, or other than that. If a person does it for any of these reasons, then the action of the person in seeking knowledge will not be from amongst that person's righteous deeds, and they will not find it on the day of standing in their scales of their good deeds. They will not find it. What a loss. So the Shaykh says, وَلِهَذَا مِنْ أَحَمِّ الْمُهِمَّاتِ وَأَعْظَمَ الْوَاجِبَاتِ في هذا الباب أن يعنى ويعني طالب العلم بإصلاح نيته. So for this reason, from amongst the most important things that are important, from the things that are important, well, some of them are more important than others. From amongst the most important things that are important and the greatest of the obligatory duties, في هذا الباب, يعني in regards to seeking knowledge, is that the seeker of knowledge gives care and is concerned about and pays attention to the rectification of his niyyah. From the most important of important matters and the greatest of the obligations in reference to seeking knowledge is that a seeker of knowledge gives care and is concerned about and is worried about and gives attention to this process of constantly examining, looking at, and purifying, and rectifying, and correcting the intention. And here, the Shaykh Abdul Razak, may Allah protect and preserve him, mentions five imams from amongst many, whose practice or saying is an indication of the importance of niyyah. He says, وَلِهَذَا, for this reason, yani because of the importance of yani the process of rectification, that a person gives care to their intention. وَلِهَذَا دَرَجَ يعني سَلَكَ نَهَجَ كَثِيرٌ مِّنَ الْعُلَمَاءِ كَالْبُخَارِي رَحِمَهُ اللَّهِ فِي كِتَابِهِ الصَّحِيِّ وَالْبَغَوِي رَحِمَهُ اللَّهِ فِي كِتَابِهِ شَرْحَ السُّنَّةِ وَالنَّوَوِي فِي الْأَرْبَعِينَ رَحِمَهُ اللَّهِ وغيرهم من أهل العلم درجوا يعني سلكوا على تصدير كتبهم بحديث إنما الأعمال بالنيات. حديث reported by البخاري المسلم from أمير المؤمنين عمر بن الخطاب رضي الله عنه. He said it is for this reason, because of the importance of having a correct intention, many of the scholars like Al-Imam Al-Bukhari in his book The Sahih, and Al-Imam Al-Baghawi in his book Sharh Sunnah, which is also a book of hadith, a very important book of hadith, and Al-Imam Al-Nawawi rahimahullah in his Arba'een, 40 hadith, which we just talked about in some detail in the previous sessions. And other than them, from the scholars of ilm, yani they have taken this path. They have traveled on this road of beginning their books with the hadith, إِنَّمَا الْعَمَالُ بِالنِّيَاتِ. How many scholars from the people of Sunnah began their books with this hadith? إِنَّمَا الْعَمَالُ بِالنِّيَاتِ. To the end of the hadith. That indeed, verily, certainly, actions will be judged by intentions, by niyat. And we discussed this hadith in detail in the 50 hadith of Al-Imam Nawawi and Ibn Rajab, and the explanation of Shaykh Abdul Razak, or the father of Shaykh Abdul Razak, Shaykh Abdul Muslim Al-Abad, Hafidhullah. This hadith is a very important hadith, and its discussion is important that a person read it. And there are lots of scholars, contemporary scholars, who have explained this hadith, and those books are translated into English, so nobody has an excuse not to understand thoroughly what is intended here. That actions are judged by intentions. The most important, critical factor in the judgment of actions is the intentions. Why did they begin their books with this hadith? He said, تَنْبِيحًا لِطَالِبُ الْعِلْمِ مِنْ أَوَّلِ الطَّرِيقِ عَلَى أَنْ يُصْلِحَ نِيَّتَهُ فِي طَالِبِهِ لِلْعِلْمِ وَتَحْصِيلِهِ. He said, this is to bring to the attention of the talib, the student, the seeker of knowledge, from the beginning of the road. Min awal tariq, yani from the beginning, when a person gets on the road to seeking knowledge, from the very start, from the outset, that the person's attention is drawn to this matter of the need to rectify one's niyyah in one's seeking of knowledge and the acquisition or the attainment of knowledge. That from the very beginning, a person has to be aware. And this is to bring to our attention, yani, this fact of the need of the rectification of the niyyah. Shaykh says, فَهَذَا أَمْرٌ غَايَةُ الْأَهَمِّيَّةِ وَهُوَ يَحْتَاجُ مِنْ طَالِبُ الْعِلْمِ إِلَى مُجَاهَدَةِ وَالْمُعَالَجَةِ. So this is a matter of the utmost importance which requires, which needs the student of knowledge to strive and to struggle and to make a tremendous effort to correct and to rectify the niyyah. To such an extent, its importance is to the extent that حَتَّى قَالَ الْإِمَامُ سُفْيَانُ الثَّوْرِي رَحِمَهُ اللَّهُ. That Al-Imam Sufyan al-Thawri, rahimahullah, one of the greatest scholars of hadith and one of the greatest scholars of Islam, rahimahullah, he said, and this is important, yani actually a person needs to go back and read the biography of Al-Imam Sufyan al-Thawri in order to comprehend the importance of what is being said here. A man of this magnitude, of this station, and yani, one of the greatest scholars of hadith, he said, مَا عَلَجْتُ شَيْئًا أَشَدَّ عَلَيَّ مِن نِيَّتِي. Yani, I didn't make an effort to fix, to correct anything that was أَشَدَّ عَلَيَّ, that was more difficult to me, that was more difficult upon me than my niyyah. Yani, there wasn't anything that I attempted to do that was more difficult for me than the rectification, the correction of niyyah. And if a man of that magnitude is saying that, what about us? What's our condition? وَلَمَّا ذُكِرَتْ النِّيَّةُ عِنْدَ الْإِمَامِ أَحْمَدْ رَحِمَهَ اللَّهُ قَالَ هَذَا الْخِنَاقُ هَذَا الْأَمْرُ الشَّدِيدُ الَّذِي يَحْتَاجُ إِلَى مُعَالَجَةٍ وعناية دقيقة حتى تصفو للعبد نيته وتصلحه. When the subject of an-niyya, intention, was mentioned in the presence of Al-Imam Ahmed rahimahullah, he said, هذا الخناق, yani this is the thing that chokes one or strangles someone. هذا الأمر الشديد, this extremely difficult matter, which requires mu'alaja, yani that a person make an effort struggle and strive, making an effort to fix or to correct the niyyah. وَإِنَايَةٍ دَقِيقَةٍ, and that a person give very extremely careful attention to this matter of the niyyah, so that, or until, the abd, the person, is able to purify his niyyah and to rectify it. And yet a person has to give great care and strive and struggle in this process of islah niyyah until they're able to purify the niyyah and to rectify the niyyah. So any books have been written about this topic, and the Shaykh has just given us a small note to look at and to think about, something that if a person considers what has been said here, it's enough to make a person realize the importance of this matter and to take it seriously. One Shaykh I remember many years ago, over 35 years ago or so, I remember a book was published about this subject of the niyyah. And the book, I haven't seen the book, I've been separated from the books for a long time. But the book is about 500 pages. And the author, it was his master's degree thesis. And it was said that this book was entitled to, should have been given a PhD. He should have been given a PhD degree for it. The whole book is about this topic of niyyah. So that is an indication of how important this is, and that this is not sufficient, but at least it makes us aware of the importance of this matter of the niyyah. The second matter that Al-Imam Abdulaziz ibn Ibaz rahimahullah mentions amongst those things that will help and assist a person in the acquisition, the attainment of knowledge, he says, Al-Amru al-Thani, Shaykh Abdul Razak saying here, Al-Amru al-Thani mimma dhakarahu rahimahullah ta'ala hifdh al-waqti. And the second matter which the Imam Abdulaziz rahimahullah mentioned here is the preservation, the protection, guarding of one's time. To guard, to protect, to preserve one's time, not to waste time. There's no time to waste. And I've said before, and I'll say it again, I don't know if people are still watching television, but there's no need to. There are telephones. And I know people are watching telephones. People are driving down the street looking at telephones, walking down the street looking at telephones, in the masjid, even during Jummah, looking at telephones. And a person has to be careful to protect and to preserve and guard their time. We have to be careful. And this is something that nobody's free from. But a person has to be aware of it. And the importance of preserving your time. وَالْوَقْتْ ثَمِينٌ لِلْغَايَةِ. Any time, a person's time is extremely valuable. Extremely valuable, precious. Time is valuable. وَمَا ذَهَبَ مِنْهُ لَا يَعُودُ. And whatever from the time that you have goes, pass by, it will never return. It will never return. And it's not like something that you can buy in the market. If you lose it, you buy another one. If it breaks, you can get it fixed. The time when it goes, it's gone. It's not coming back again. So it's more valuable than the things that you spend a lot of money on, because those things can be replaced. Time can't. And everybody has a set time that Allah has made for us in this world, and that's it. And you can't extend it. I shouldn't say you can't extend it. By the permission of Allah, there are things that we can do that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will place barakah in our time. Naam. But you can't buy it. You can't have a lot of money and say, I'm going to buy some more time. So the time that we have in this world is extremely valuable. Whatever of it goes, it will not return. وَلِهَذَا يَنْبَغِي عَلَى الْمَرْءِ أَنْ يُحَافِظَ عَلَى وَقْتِهِ أَشَدَّ الْمُحَافَظَةِ. For this reason, it is incumbent, it is expected, it is befitting that a person protect and preserve and guard their time, giving it the greatest, the utmost care. وأن يدرك عظم قيمة الوقت وأهمية الزمن. And that a person recognize, comprehend the greatness of the value or the worth of their time and its importance. That a person recognize this. And a lot of people don't recognize the importance of time. And the proof of that, look how people waste time. Look how people waste time. Some people, as they used to say in the old days, I don't know if they still say that, when I was growing up a long time ago, they said, let's kill some time. That's how lost people are, unaware of the value of time. They want to kill some time. Like, let's waste some time. Let's find something to do to waste time. And Sheikh Abdul Razak, and I brought this book with me because I wanted to show it to some of the brothers. I know some of the brothers have this book, Ahamiyatul Waqt fi Hayatul Muslim. Time in the Muslim's life. Sheikh Abdul Razak has this book, which is really a tremendous book. I think whoever can should try to read it. You should read it if you haven't read it. And if you have it, it's worth rereading again. So the Shaykh is saying what? That a person needs to recognize, to comprehend the greatness of the value or the worth of their time and its importance. وَلَا سِيَمَا مَرْحَلَةِ الشَّبَابِ. And especially the period of time when they are young. Especially the period of time in your life when you are young. And most of the people here are young. And some of them are very young. Like, mashallah. But yani, most everybody here is young, except a couple of old people. Now, so every person has to yani, guard and protect and preserve their time. And recognize and comprehend its importance. But especially the period of time when you are young. So the Shaykh says that if you are in the period of time when you are young, your period of youth, you will find quwwa, al-quwwa, wal-nashat, wal-sahulat al-qira'a. You will find that you have strength and that you have a lot of energy and it's easy for you to read. You need to read books, to read and learn. But when you get older, you will not find this same strength. And those who have reached 50 or 60 begin to feel that already. And if you're beyond that, Allahu musta'an. When you get older, you will not find this same strength, the same energy and ease with which you used to learn when you were younger. That's going to go away. That's not going to remain. Allahu a'lam. If you're in your youth, you're able to read. يعني تقرأ ما تجده في القطب قراءة واضحة بغير زجاجة. زجاجة. He said, when you're young, you can read يعني books, any books that you read with clarity, without the use of these glasses. Perhaps a مرحلة, a stage, a period of time in your life will come. ما تستطيع أن تقرأ إلا والزجاجة بين عينك أو عينيك والورقة وإلا لا تستطيع أن تقرأ بدونها. Any time may come in your life, and for some of us it already came, when you will not be able to read except by the use of these glasses. Otherwise you will not be able to read without them. Naam, that's a fact. وربما يصل الأمر في بعض الناس إلى أن لا يستطيع يقرأ حتى بالزجاجة. يعني perhaps some people may reach the stage in their life where they won't be able to read even with glasses. And that's a scary thing. Because I've been without my glasses, broken, didn't have an extra pair around. That's scary. And you can't read. That's scary. And the point is what? Yani that a person values this strength and this youth and this energy and this ability to learn while they can and utilize it. فمثل هذا النشاط وهذه القوة وهذه الصحة وهذا التمتع بالحواس ما ينبغي أن يضيع سدى وَأَنْ يَذْهَبَ هَبَاءً. Yani the like of this type of energy and this strength and this yani condition of good health and this ability to enjoy your faculties, your hearing and your sight is all working good. It is not befitting that a person waste it and let it yani go away in vain. Yani that this strength and this yani energy that a person doesn't utilize it. Rather, it is incumbent upon everyone to protect and to preserve and to guard their time, especially the time of their youth. Especially the time of their youth. ولهذا قال الناصح الأمين عليه الصلاة والسلام اغتنم خمسا قبل خمس. And it is for this reason that الناصح, يعني the sincere advisor, الأمين, the trusted one, عليه الصلاة والسلام, it is for this reason that he said, take advantage of five before five. Take advantage of five before five. وَبَدَأَ بِشَبَابَكَ قَبْلَ حَرِمِكَ. Yani that a person take advantage of their youth before old age, of their health before sickness, of their wealth before poverty, of their free time before being busy, and of their life before their death. The point is, the Shaykh is saying, you know what? That the Prophet ﷺ said, take advantage of five before five. And he began by mentioning taking advantage of your youth before old age. Let me just check our time. How much time we got? We're good, mashallah. So he says, الشباب, الشباب أمره ليس بهين. Yani this affair, this matter of youth and the importance of youth and the value of youth, it is a matter that is not easy. It is not to be taken lightly. It is not to be taken lightly. A person has to be serious about this because it's going to go. If a person lives long, they're not always going to be young and they're not going to have this energy and this strength and this ability to do what they're able to do now. And I'm saying that because yani the matter is serious. It's so serious, the Shaykh said. وَلِهَذَا فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ لَمَّا يَسْأَلُ الْعِبَادِ عَنْ عُمْرِهِمْ كُلِّهِ فِي مَا أَفْنَوْهُ يَسْأَلُهُمْ سُؤَالًا خَاصًا عَنْ مَرْحَلَةِ الشَّبَابِ. مع أن الشباب داخل في العمر لإذن شعني هذه المرحلة. The matter is so important that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, on the day of standing, on the day of resurrection, on the day of accounting, when He will ask the people about their lifetime, all of it, the whole of their lifetime, what did they spend it doing? He will ask them a special, specific question about the period of time, the stage in their life when they were young. Even though this period of youth is part of their lifetime. He will ask them about their lifetime, and then he will specifically ask, what did they do with the period of time when they were young, when they had the energy, and when they had the strength, and when they had the ability? What did they do at that time, specifically? And that is because of the importance of this period in a person's life. وَالْحَاصُلْ أَنَّ الْوَقْتِ لَهُ أَهَمِّيَّتُهُ. So, yani, the point here is what? That time, it has its importance. وَيَنْبَغِي عَلَى طَالُبَ الْعِلْمِ أَنْ يَحْرِصَ عَلَى ضَبْطِ وَقْتِهِ وَحَفْظِهِ. So it is incumbent, it is befitting for the طالب العلم to be diligent in regulating and controlling his time and protecting and preserving it. And a person has to make an effort to regulate their time, to control their time, to protect and preserve their time, and not to let it go to waste. وَإِذَا تَأَمَّلْتَ فِيكَ أَيُّهَا الْإِنسَانِ أَنْتَ مَجْمُوعَةٌ مِنَ الْوَقْتِ. So if you reflect, if you examine and look at yourself, yani every human being, if you look at yourself, you will see that you are مَجْمُوعَ مِنَ الْوَقْتِ. Yani you are a collection of time. Many days, weeks, months, years. You are a collection yani of time. Time that's collected, days that are collected, weeks and months and years that are collected together. اليوم منك يهدم الأسبوع. So a day in your life, it will destroy a week. يعني a day will take away from the week. Day by day by day, the week will be gone. And a week will destroy a month. And a month will destroy a year. يعني a day turns into a week. 2, 3, 4, 5 days a week. And a week turns into a month. And a month turns into a year. And years, يعني, turn into your lifetime. وكل يوم مضى يدني من العجل. And every day that passes brings you closer to your appointed time, to your term, the end of your time in this world. Every day that passes is bringing you closer to the end of your time. And if a person just reflects on that for a moment, yani today, this day has passed, and it's bringing us closer to the end of our time. And yesterday we were burying somebody who came to the end of their time. And the day before that, someone was buried. And the day before that, somebody else was buried. Funerals that we attended. And we're coming to the end of our time. Even we don't know that the younger people are going to be leaving before the older people. Or the healthy people are going to die before the sick people. But every day is bringing us closer to that time. A person has to think about that. That every day that passes, you're getting closer. It's almost over. People are only living 60 to 70 years. As the Prophet ﷺ said, and the lifespan of my ummah is between 16 and 17 sana. So it's not that far away. So the Shaykh, he said, so every day that passes is bringing one closer to the end. ولهذا ينبغي أن يحرص المرء على اغتنام الوقت وحفظه. And for this reason, it is incumbent, it is befitting, it is expected that a person be diligent in seeking to take advantage of the time that they have and to protect and preserve it. حفظ الوقت. ولهذا طالب العلم الموفق يدع لنفسه برنامجا حادا لحفظ وقته ويرتب برنامجه اليومي وجدوله اليومي ترتيبا دقيقا. So for this reason, the طالب العلم, the person who's serious about seeking knowledge, who has been given success, المُوَفَّق, the one that Allah has given success to, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given success to that person, that's the one who's going to do this. And the person who doesn't do this, then they are not one who has been given success. Because this is something you have to attend to. He said, the student of knowledge who Allah has given success to, al-muwaffaq, he sets up for himself a program, barnamage, serious program, a serious program, a real program, to protect and preserve his time. And you don't just hope that I'm not going to waste time. No, you have to actually do something about it. You have to actually sit down and say, how am I going to save my time? How am I going to protect and preserve my time? How am I going to utilize this time in the best way possible? You have to sit down and set up a program. I remember one of my teachers, he was a young teacher, and I remember went to his house one time, invited to his house, and he gave a little talk before the dinner, and he talked about how his schedule for his day, every hour from morning until night, what he was doing. Whether it was memorizing, reviewing, reading a book, certain topics, every single day of the week, from morning till night. SubhanAllah. And do we even have a schedule where we just say, every day I'm going to do one thing? Not to mention the whole day, what am I going to be doing from morning till night? This is serious. This is serious. Perhaps the Shaykh, that teacher, perhaps he read this. And he followed it. And we are reading it, and will we follow it? And a person has to ask Allah to give us success to follow this. The successful seeker of knowledge has set for himself a program, a serious program to protect his time. وَيُرَتِّبُ بَرْنَامِجَهُ الْيَوْمِ وَجَدْوَلَهُ الْيَوْمِ تَرْتِيبًا دَقِيقًا. And he arranges his program, his daily program, and his daily schedule. He arranges it. He prepares it. He sits down and writes it down. But he arranges it in such a way that the Shaykh said, what? Tartiban daqiqan. Yani, he arranges it an arrangement that is precise. That is precise. Yani, he defines the morning, the afternoon, and the evening. And he breaks each of those periods of time up into how many hours for what and the other. And there's some time for sleeping, there's some time for eating. And for those who have families, their families and all of that. But a person has to make, yani, an important part of the daily schedule, yani, the seeking of knowledge. Yani, and the things that are going to help a person seek the knowledge. And then he said, وَيُجَاهِدُ نَفْسَهُ. After he sets up this program and this schedule, this precise, yani, fine-tuned schedule, وَيُجَاهِدُ نَفْسَهُ عَلَى الْإِلْتِزَامِ بِهَذَا الْبَرْنَامِجِ. Then he struggles, and he strives, and he works hard against his nafs to make himself stick to and adhere to this program. And you make a schedule, and then you have to stick to it. And we say we're going to memorize so many, yani, so much of the Quran, or so hadith, or we're going to read a book, and then we just, like, we say it, and we don't do anything. Person has to force themselves. Yeah, that's right. Because your nafs is going to tell you, take a rest, a little bit tired, have something to eat, let's take a break, let's go out and have some fun, go play some basketball. I remember there were students who played basketball as much as they went to the class. In Medina. Yeah, the person in Medina playing basketball. I mean, it's not really playing basketball. I played basketball myself. But, I mean, is that what you occupied with? The nafs will call you to waste your time in things that seem that they are important, are made to appear to be important, to be enjoyable, to be something that this is good to do right now. But a person has to force themselves to stick to the schedule. And he said, يُجَاهِدْ نَفْسَهُ عَلَى الْتِزَامِ بِهَذَا الْبَرْنَامِجِ عَمَلًا بِقَوْلِ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامِ احْرِصْ عَلَى مَا يَنْفَعُكَ وَاسْتَعِنْ بِاللَّهِ. And a person does so. Yani, right, makes a program and strives to stick to that program in acting upon the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, be diligent, be eager in seeking that which benefits you. Yani, in utilizing your time for that which benefits you. Yani, here we're talking about time. احرص على ما ينفعك واستعن بالله, and seek help from Allah. ولا تعجز. Yani, a person forces themselves to stick to the schedule. Why? Because sticking to this schedule will benefit you. And the Prophet ﷺ said that a person be diligent in going after that which will benefit you. And the things that benefit you the most are the things that will benefit you on Yawm al-Qiyamah. Yani, more than a person is diligent in seeking money in this world, in going to work on time and not missing a day, or going to school in order to get a degree so they can get a better job, more than that, a person should be diligent in doing those things that are going to earn the pleasure of Allah. In learning their deen and acting upon it, and worshipping Allah, and being engaged in dhikr and dua and salat and qira'atul Qur'an. A person has to be more diligent about that than they are about the other things. And this hadith is reported by Ibn Majah from Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu. And this hadith is a very important hadith in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Al-mu'min al-qawi khayrun min al-mu'min al-da'if wa fi kullin khayr." You know that the strong believer is khayr wa habbu ilallah, is khayr, is better and more beloved to Allah than the weak believer. Wa fi kullin khayrun. But in each of them there is khayr. Because each of them have iman. But the one who has strong iman is better than the one who has weak iman. And in that hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, be diligent in seeking, in going after that which will benefit you. And from the things that will benefit you is protecting and preserving your time. So, the third point, which I had intended to go over today, is al-amal bima alim. al-amal, that a person acts upon what they learned. But because of its importance, and because there's a bit much here, it wouldn't make sense to try to rush in the next 5 or 10 minutes. Since we already reached the hour, our time for this session is going to be 1 hour and 10 minutes, inshallah, or somewhere in that range. We're not going to go beyond that. But better than to rush through this, it's too important. And we'll stop here with this. And I'll just remind myself and each of you that whoever has a copy of this advice, in whatever language you have it in, we need to read it more than once. We need to read it over and over and over again. And it is possible that a person could memorize it. In this large print that I sent it to the class in, the actual text of the advice of Imam Ibn Baz rahimahullah is only 2 pages. It's only 2 pages. And some of us memorize a good portion, if not the whole of the previous advice, which was 7 pages. And if a person didn't memorize it, in old age, my advice to you is, just keep reading it. Just keep reading it. Yani, it's not equal to memorizing it, but it serves the same purpose. And if you memorize it, that means you're going to be attending to it all the time. And if you didn't memorize it, just keep reading it. You're still attending to it. And the point is that you want to read it and remind yourself and make sure that you reflect upon the meanings and that you remember these things so that you act upon them, so that you do them. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. I ask Allah for myself and for each of you that He grant us success in doing whatever we do sincerely for His sake alone, and that He recognize, record, and reward our good deeds, and that He pardon, forgive, and overlook our mistakes and errors, and that He grant us al-thabat ala sirat al-mustaqim until we return to Him in a condition in which we are pleased with Him and pleasing to Him. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant a quick and complete and speedy recovery to those amongst us who are sick, and to shower His rahmah upon those who have passed away, that He fill their graves with light and make their graves spacious and admit them into His paradise and protect them from the punishment of the grave and the punishment of the fire. And we ask Allah to grant relief to the Muslims in Palestine and in other places in the world, in Sudan and Yemen and the non-Muslim countries in Burma and China and India and wherever. Wherever they may be in Sudan, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant the Muslims who are being persecuted, who are being slaughtered, who are being murdered, grant them relief and to grant them protection from Himself, from before them and from behind them and from the right of them and from the left of them and from above them and from below them. And indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, huwa al-musta'an, He's the one that help is sought from, alone, exclusively, Allah alone. And if a person can't do anything for those Muslims other than to get up in the last part of the night and make dua, that's tremendous. Ameen, Ya Rabbi.